Hey, you found us. Thank you for tuning in tonight. This is Caching in the Northwest. It's the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the continent. So while you're measuring your backyard for a curling rink, we'll be caching in the Northwest. But you know, we can't do that until we bring in our apt out ape. Maybe it's an opt out ape.
The joke gets less funny every time you repeat it.
Oh, some say he's a highly paid consultant to the International Olympic Committee, and others say he has memorized the entire Google database. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, Chris. So good to have you back. Hope everything's going well for you and family.
Thank you. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers during this hard time for us.
Awesome, man. All right. Well, you know, I also appreciate our patrons who help to keep this podcast coming each and every week. So you guys, thank you very much. Folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, just go on over to the cachingnw.com website and click on that Patreon link, and I'll show you everything you need to know. All right. Well, you know, for tonight's show, we are going to round up geocaching apps out there for you.
Yeehaw.
Yeah. There you go.
Isn't that the kind of roundup we're looking for?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work. Hey, did you want me to read the glow this week? We have no gym.
We have no gym. You know what? Let me read it.
Okay, you go for it, man.
And Dormore and Bryling, there's gonna be no triple loop, no triple sow cow. We're just going to read the glow, and this is how we do it.
That's skating. That's not my discipline. I'm on snow sports, not ice sports.
Unless it's sleds. Then I like the ice. Anyway, we start off with tuned into your podcast this past Thursday and have been catching up on past episodes over the past week. Here's a glow from today's geocaching trip to GC58 Gulf 8 Gulf, New Gloucester, Trail South. Instead of an easy saunter along a meandering paved path, we had an epic adventure, courtesy of the December 2017 snowstorm. The Alpinese clan have been enjoying Beastmaster, an obstacle course competition show on Netflix, and the kids immediately recognized an opportunity to accept Mother Nature's challenge. Fallen trees, pulverized metal fencing, and thick carpets of debris became the ultimate ninja training course as we dove beneath shattered tree trunks, scrambled over gnarled limbs, and chopped away grasping branches with improvised ninja swords. Sticks. Two simple caches provided us with a wonderful shared memory and two very happy children who will sleep very well tonight. Thank you, Blue Streak and Pooh Bear, for another family-friendly geocaching opportunity and bringing us to this special place. Really enjoyed the podcast, guys. Keep up the great work.
That's awesome. So that's from Alpinese. Awesome. Well, thank you for sending that in, guys. And so I assume they're going to get a glow badge.
You better believe it.
Awesome. Looking forward to seeing it on their profile. Good stuff. And hey, folks, remember that if there is either a milestone or just a fun story like Alpinese just shared with us there that you want, that you're celebrating or you want to share with us, just call it in. You can even call it in your own voice into 253-693-TFTC, and we'll share it with the Northwest community on your behalf. You know, use that voicemail tool on the website. That makes it even easier if you're so inclined.
And be inclined.
Yeah.
As opposed to declined.
Well, you know, unless you're going downhill, then you should probably be declined.
Oh, yeah. Like my credit card. But that's a different story.
That seems like a different story.
Oh, I got an email. I've had an email conversation for the past couple of months with a couple of geocachers from Norway that have started their own geocaching podcast.
Just in time for the Winter Olympics. I love
exactly. it. Exactly. And so, you know, through corresponding and what have you, you know, here's what I did to get started. And I'll tell you, and Land Monkey, you know this. Other people know this. There really isn't any competition in podcasting. It's not like the Olympics. Somebody's going to get a gold. Somebody's going to get a silver. And that fourth person, they're off the podium. No, it's not that way. Every time there's a new podcast, not only about geocaching, but podcasting in general, that raises the level of water and all boats rise. So whenever there's a new geocaching podcast, we're happy to hear about it.
I totally agree with that. The only exception I would throw on there is that there is a friendly little rivalry going on between me and Jesse, Memphis Mafia. But other than that...
Well, friendly rivalry, that's no problem.
Yeah, that just adds a little fun to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Things, but yeah. No, that's all good. And yeah, so were you going to read through the email?
Oh, let me do that. Yeah. They wrote an email, said, "We are two geocachers, and I apologize in advance. Norwegian is not one of my stronger languages."
I'd say Bien.
Bien, yeah. And Johnny Penger are at geocaching.com from Norway and planning to start a Norwegian podcast about geocaching. We've been listening to your podcast and we absolutely love it. Your shows are a great inspiration to go out and go geocaching and discover new adventures. Your shows have also been the source of an idea to start our own podcast, a Norwegian podcast. We know a lot of people here in Norway that are listening to international podcasts, and we think there's room for a Norwegian podcast also. We are now on the air. We're at Spreaker.com and Facebook as Geopod Nord. That's Geopod Norge.
I think it's actually Geopod Norge.
Geopod Norway. Norge. Wow. It's easier to... Every time I read it, with my American accent and not my proper Norwegian accent, which
of course
I don't have.
But we're trying.
So we'll put the link in the show notes. Go take a listen. If you understand Norwegian, I think you're going to like this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I listened to a good part of episode 0. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, this is a Norwegian language podcast. So if you're going there and, hey, you know, if you and your family speak a little Norwegian, then it's a great opportunity to practice your skills. But for me, I really couldn't understand it, but I can tell you the audio quality was pretty good. So they've obviously invested some time in doing this right. And I think it's awesome. I really am excited that Norway is having its own Norwegian language geocaching podcast. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I listened to most of episode 1. And the audio quality is very good. So, you know, if you understand Norwegian, it's going to be an easy listen. And, you know, go out and have a listen to it.
Awesome.
Okay. Iham, you need to stop in the chat because you're making me laugh. You know how I said it's gold, silver, and fourth is off the podium. And I said, but we're not like that. He goes, kind of looks like Wits End is off the podium tonight. Well, Wits End isn't available this week. He's out working at a job, and, you know, he's got to pay the bills just like we all do. So, hey, yeah. If you're live and listening, and if you're not, I don't know how you're listening, but, okay, if you're listening live to us right now, let me put it this way. Go ahead and jump on Twitter. Send Wits End a quick "Hey, we miss you" tweet. He appreciates it, and you know, let me say the love that you guys show to us just blows me away. So, thank you all. Thank you all.
Awesome. Yeah, it definitely is a community with this podcast, and I love that.
It really is.
All right. So,
speaking of community, there's a community event coming up.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yes, this one is one of those events that you've got to go to. Now, there's certain things you have to do once in your life. Some people call it a bucket list. I've used the term. Yeah, you could do that. This event is GC7 Hotel Beta 4-6. The name, The name is great. In fact, it's got the song running through my head. Parlay like it's 1699. This is an event by Goblin Dust, and it is the pirate event. There's an opportunity here to go on a battle sail on one of three tall ships. I did this several years ago, and it is one of the memories that comes to mind quite often. I mean, I think about that and go, oh, that was such a milestone in my life, being on one of these tall ships, watching the cannons go off, feeling the cannons go off, hearing it. It's just incredible. So if you have an opportunity to grab a ticket and do a battle sail on one of the three ships, you will not regret it, let me tell
you.
That
sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's, I believe, a two-hour battle sail for $40 U.S. So, you know, if you're taking your family of five, it's a little pricey. But really, if you have the opportunity to do it, you won't regret it. It's one of those things that, you know, everybody wants to be a pirate, and you can jump on a ship and be a pirate for 2 hours.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Since you've done this before, mm-hmm. if you get on one of the ships mm-hmm. and you start strutting about and talking like a pirate, do they get really annoyed and keelhaul you?
No. When I did it, I had a great chat with a couple of the crew people, because they were men and women. So you can't call them crew men, right? Isn't that the political thing now?
Sure, go for it.
A couple of the crew. There we go.
There you go.
That's easier. And they're all volunteers. One guy jumped on in California. It was sailing up the coast, and he was on the ship for 3 months. And as they come into port, you know, they go into town and, you know, have dinner, watch a movie, get back on the ship, and off they go to the next port of call. So it's as long as you can stay on. It's all volunteer. It was a lot of fun to hear their stories and, you know, watch them climb up the rigging up, you know, I don't know how many feet up, too many feet up to feel comfortable for what they're holding on to and doing up there. But,
no
you
kidding.
Know, they climb up and they unfurl the sails, you know, and do all the ropes and the rigging. And it's just incredible to see it up close.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's GC7HB46. Check it out, folks, before it's too late and all the tickets are gone.
That's right. Now, the event you can go to without buying a ticket.
Right.
The event tickets are only for the battle sail. Of when I did it, there were only two ships. Now there are three. So I know last time those tickets sold out quickly.
Right. It looks like it takes place in mid-August, I think.
Thank you. Yes, August 18th,
there
which is the day before the Ape event. So make a great weekend of it.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
And
all right.
There are many people that dress up as pirates. So
of course,
if you happen to have your pirate garb, here's an opportunity to pull it out of the closet.
All right. Well, I know a few people who do. All right. So tonight we are going to round up geocaching apps, and maybe if you're kind of new to geocaching, we'll help you figure out which ones might be right for you. And if you're quite experienced with geocaching and geocaching apps, we would love to hear from you. So if you're in the chat and you have preferences or thoughts or ideas about geocaching apps and apps related to geocaching, go ahead and start throwing out your thoughts, and we'll try and incorporate those into the show as we go, because you guys are always awesome in the live chat and just give us so much great content every week. I was going to say every night, but you guys don't every night, and that's okay.
That's because we're not here every night. They would be too.
That's right. Every Thursday is good. I think that works for everyone.
That's enough, isn't it?
Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I'll start out. I use pretty much two geocaching apps and then one other geocaching related app on my smartphone. I use the official Geocachinger app and the sometimes semi-controversial CGO. I say semi-controversial CGO because there has been some chatter I've picked up on in the past about how CGO connects to the geocaching.com database to grab data. It's mm-hmm. not the normal way, as it were, but it works. So I like it. I really am accustomed to the interface on it. CGO is pretty much my go-to app. So I use that on my phone. Bottom line, so it works for me. I'm familiar with the interface. But here's the thing, 90% of my caching, and that might even be a low number, is by GPSR. I use an eTrex 30X. It's just the way I cache. But the geocaching app is really good for messaging. I know it does the offline maps and offline caches and a lot of that other stuff, and they're working on it and they're definitely making progress on it, but I pretty much only use it for messaging, to be brutally honest, because the geocaching messaging function is built right into the app, which is helpful.
And, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but going to second you on the geocaching or app for messaging.
There you go.
It's really nice to, it's something that I don't go to the web page all that often to check on messages. I have it on my phone. It pops up an alert when I get a message. I can jump on the app, respond. So it helps to build that community. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. So CGO, I use it mostly for planning and navigation, or if I'm really stuck while I'm in the field, I'll try and use it to pull up old logs, but you pretty much need to either really plan ahead or have data when you're doing that to be able to do that. The main thing we actually end up using CGO for is when we're on a hashtag geocache road trip, and on our Samsung tablet, we have CGO with all the pocket queries loaded, and we use that as a kind of a routing and planning tool during the road trip. So it works really well for that. So we continually use it for that. I think, what else? The only other app related to geocaching that I use regularly is Where You Go, the Android-based Where I Go player. Of course, I use that to do Where I Goes.
Oh, surprise.
I know. That's stunning. That is pretty much what I do with apps. Yeah. At one point in time, I'll just throw this out there, I installed a whole bunch of different Android apps on my smartphone 1, maybe 2 years ago when I was helping you and Daryl with an episode of GeoGearheads and doing some field research on different apps and just trying them out and seeing what worked. And I noticed there's a lot of differences in the interfaces, and they each take a little bit of time to get used to. And once you're used to the workflow in there, you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I can work with this. So I think people tend to stick with what they know, just because the learning curve to get into something else tends to just be a little bit of extra work that people don't necessarily want to do. So that would be my experience. But sir, how about you? What do you do?
I'm an iPhone guy. I've been thinking of changing, but at the moment I'm an iPhone guy. And really, if you're using an iPhone, you have to use Cachely. Now, I will make a plug for the official geocaching app, which we call the Geocachinger app because it's got the registered trademark after it, and it's fun to say. it kind of puts it apart, right? It's a little geocachinger.
Well, they put the R on the end, so I figured they wanted us to pronounce it.
There you go. As a free app for people just getting into it, it really is very good. It is really focused on beginners.
Yeah.
They've finally added things that, you know, you can go turn off all these little beginner bits so that the more advanced user can use it without, you know, being warned of, hey, you're near a cache now. I know, that's where I was going. But, it works well. It really does. It interfaces very well with geocaching.com. And like I said earlier, with these apps, with Cachely and the Geocachinger app, I rarely go to the webpage anymore. So the apps do what I need it to do. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. Yep.
We will talk some more a little farther on about apps that work alongside of your main caching app. I'm already seeing some chatter in the chat room about, you know, GCC or iGeocaching tools. you know. So there you go. All those are all very good.
Absolutely. So, you know, some examples, some other Android-based apps for geocaching would include, you know, of course, we would be negligent not to mention Geo, which mm-hmm. seems to be gaining a lot of popularity lately. There's GC Droid, which is a bit of an older one, but I think still works. And kind of a one of the original ones is the Locus map with the geocaching add-on. I don't know a lot of people who use that anymore, but when I first started caching in 2012, I knew a handful of people who that was their go-to app. So that's kind of interesting. I'm just looking over at the chat right now, see what you guys have. I think GC Droid. Yeah, I've got mm-hmm. that there from Bri Lang.
Right.
IHAM's a big fan of CGeo. He just got a new phone and added the geocachinger app just to try it out. Broncos fan for life says she likes the official app now. Talked a little bit about TB scan. We'll get there. I'll skip the iOS ones and I'll let you talk about those. What else have we got here? Derek says he's really liking the official geocachinger app enough that it's been all he's been using for the last 8 months. Wow. Impressive. Okay. I don't think I know anybody who's that experienced of a cacher as he is and still is just sort of dedicated onto the official app.
Well, so that's Broncos fan.
True. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, she said she likes it now.
Yeah.
But does she cat? Well, hey, Broncos fan for life, do you just cash by phone or do you do GPS and phone?
I want to say 99% phone.
Really? Okay. Yeah. There you go.
I haven't seen her with a GPS.
There you go.
She'll tell us here in a few moments.
So yeah, GeoNav Pro did love CGO on Android, and Mrs. GeoNav Pro still prefers it. But I see. He's stuck with an iPhone, so he can't use CGO anymore. Yeah. There you go. IHAM said he tried Geo, didn't work for him. That was the scenario for me. I had tried Geo and it actually ate my phone. So I stopped using it. Now, that said, I have a Samsung S3 and there has been a lot of upgrades and patches to Geo since that happened, but I've been kind of burned a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. Geo, developer of Geo has been very responsive, and Geo in the last year has come a long way.
There you go.
It's got a TB scan utility built into it now, you know, and they keep adding more and more functionality to it. I think Geo may be one of the top geocaching apps in the future. I don't think it's going to replace CGeo in the near future, but I think it's building that way.
There you go. Well, and speaking of CGeo, I just wanted to read maybe one more right now before we jump back into our show notes. And guys, keep the chat coming. That's mm-hmm. You're amazing. But see, Keats94 said, I always log my finds via the website. Good boy. But CGeo has come in handy when I was in Cape Breton. Using it to navigate around the city or just a quick search for a route is great on CGeo. So there are some good tips if you're mm-hmm. traveling to use the geocaching app just to help you do some navigation and find things in the city. That's cool. Nice one, Keats. Thank you.
Well, all right. I'm going to ask our chat room, toss out the percentage of caches you find by phone and by GPSR.
I see Gems and Rose is already ahead of you there.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just curious. You know, I'm almost 100% phone caching now. There are times I take my GPSR, I'll load it up because I know I'm going to be well out of cell phone range, or it's going to be a very long hike out of cell phone range and my battery will die. You know, there's a lot of different reasons, but I would probably be 95% cell phone, 5% GPSR. And you're probably the other way around.
Yeah, I'm a Luddite.
Yeah. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. So, okay. Let's jump to some examples of iOS apps for caching. I've already mentioned Cachely, which tends to be, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. Of course, the geocachinger app. That's for both platforms as well. Looking for cash. Three Hams in the chat is a very vocal proponent for looking for cash. You know, as you said, Land Monkey, each geocaching app seems to have a little different user interface, and looking for cash didn't work for me for that user interface. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's bad. It was different, and it didn't fit me.
Well, there you go.
You know, it's still around. It's still being updated, so people like it. Another one is GeoCube, which Team Mavaju, sorry, I only knew his real name. I had to come up with his geocaching name. Team Mavaju out of, Australia? He's Australian.
I think he's Dutch living in Australia or something
there
like that.
There you go. That's it. He is writing that, and GeoCube is the replacement for Geosphere.
Oh,
that's why it's okay. Named such.
I didn't know that. I didn't know he was an application author.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So GeoCube is an up and coming. Geosphere, I loved it. They didn't make the, what was it? Is it iOS 10 or iOS 9 update? One of those updates, the author stopped supporting. So Geosphere has passed by the wayside.
Right.
And then CashBot is another big one for the iPhone.
I've never heard of CashBot.
Well, it goes out and finds the caches for you. It's a caching bot. Yeah.
So it's, you know, works by drone or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
So we're starting to get some response in the chat of phone versus GPS.
Some. We're starting to get a lot of response in the chat. You guys are amazing.
You guys
our listeners.
Really, yeah.
Great. Jump in there, buddy.
So let's see. We start with Alan Richards, 80-20 phone GPS these days, maybe higher. Brylang says, I find almost all my caches by phone. Use my GPSR while hiking to help save battery. Limited effectiveness as I keep checking the phone anyway, he says.
There you go.
Star Cacher.
Oh, yeah, number there.
99% GPSR, 1% phone. Just for FTFs.
Nice.
See, Land Monkey, you're not alone.
Good. Bounce says 100% by phone. Three Hams in a row says 100% of his 6,500 plus finds are by phone using Looking for Cash. Little winky face there. What else? Lazy Bones is in there. Hey, Lazy Bones, who was a guest last week, said 70% GPSR, 30% mobile.
Interesting. IHAM says 95% phone, GPS when only off the grid. Keats Morton, 95% with the GPSR, 5% with the phone. I've found caches with my phone after work. It's much more convenient than bringing my GPSR to work. Data can be eaten through, though.
There you go. Okay. Some questions about GeoCube.
GeoCube, all one word. And as it sounds, GeoCube, it's in the App Store on Apple. I do not believe it is an Android app.
Well, if it's an Android app, it wouldn't be in the App Store.
Well, it would be in the Play Store. Yeah, yeah. You know what I meant.
We do. All right, you guys. Let's talk about, do you mind if we switch gears?
Hold on, let me put the clutch in. Oh.
Okay.
We're good now.
Okay, thanks. Always important to put the clutch in before you switch gears. Otherwise, it's very noisy. All right. Let's talk a little bit about specialty apps that are related to geocaching, but maybe wouldn't be your primary geocaching app, but are good to have on your mobile device. And some examples of those, as it came up in the chat previously, TB Scan, which is available on iOS and Android.
Android very recently.
Okay.
So, hey, I'm going to throw something out there. If you're a TB Scan user or want to get into it, you know, take a listen to GeoGearheads. We're giving away 10 licenses to TB Scan Pro. Maybe you could be one of them. I had to throw that out there. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's cool. That reminds me that I have to go enter that contest.
Yeah.
Very cool. So yeah, and the purpose of TB scan, as we're it, kind of self-explanatory, but allows you to scan the alphanumeric codes on trackables and log them, which is pretty cool. So it's like OCR software in a bit.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the developer contacted me. I want to say he was 13, 14, 15 at the time when he first developed it and didn't
really?
Like, yeah, didn't like any of the OCR functions built into iOS and wrote his own.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going, wow, this kid has something here.
That's pretty amazing.
So,
all right.
You know, it makes me feel pitiful. I can't do that.
But you have things that you're special and good
at. Oh, good. I just have to figure out what those are.
Yeah. Hosting podcasts.
Oh, there we go.
As a start.
So TB scan works really well. If you're scanning coins or trackables, good light helps. Reflections tend to throw it off. But if you're scanning car trackables, each and every time it works great.
Right. So I would imagine like any other kind of OCR app, it needs a good contrast.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay. Where you go, where I go, application. So pretty much unless your GPS-R happens to be one of the few models that will play where I go cartridges, which I think is the Colorado, a couple of Colorados.
Oregon's.
Sorry, it's the Oregon's. Sorry. Okay.
Oh, no, you're right. Colorado, Oregon's. Okay. Montana's, I believe, also have it.
Oh, okay. So there's a few models that do. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a very limited number.
I've used it on the Oregon, and, you know, I was disappointed. It worked. It crashed repeatedly. So, you know, I would take a step and have to save it. You know, take a step, save, take
right.
a step. So you can do it.
To be honest, I think where I goes are better played on a good smartphone screen or maybe even a tablet, depending on what the where I go is. So I think that's really good for doing that. So yeah, obviously that is very specific to playing where I go cartridges, which are difficult to do otherwise.
I'm going to throw out that Geo has a built-in where I go player, according to Team Finn. So thank you for throwing that in. I forgot that.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So maybe one day if I get a new phone and I'm feeling brave enough, I might try that out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else? Geocaching multi-tool.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few other ones that I've seen in the chat that are along the same idea, where it's an application that will do things like coordinate conversion for puzzles. It'll do some basic ciphers. Again, it's like it's a handy helping tool for puzzles. But also one of the other handy things is doing projections for field puzzles. That's mm-hmm. always really helpful if you don't have a GPS. Which I just do all my projections on my GPS, but you know.
Right. There are several multi-tools or set of tools for geocaching puzzles for smartphones.
Yeah.
iGeocaching tools, GCC, geocache coordinate calculator, something.
Okay.
Or maybe it's just geocache calculator. And they have a whole set of tools, you know, things like resistor color codes to help you through that. You know, all sorts of different languages to or numbering systems, if that's part of the puzzle. So, you know, all that you have right there in your hand to help you solve these puzzles.
That's cool. All right. GPS averaging is actually, there is actually an app called GPS averaging, but there are also other tools that you can get that do the same thing. And really, we're talking about waypoint averaging. So a tool you can use just to very specifically try and make sure your coordinates are as accurate as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for hiders more so than finders, I would think.
Perfect. Exactly. So if you're hiding an app or hiding a cache, if you're hiding an app, don't put it in the app store. If you're hiding a cache, you know, let your phone sit there for 10, 15. If you can do 30 minutes on an averaging app, you're going to have a really good set of coordinates.
There you go.
You know, eat your lunch. I wouldn't walk too far away from your phone because, you know.
Whatever works for you, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. There was one that I came across called GeoFriends.
Yes.
And I'm not familiar with that one. So
that
do you know about that
one? Is iOS only as far as I know.
Okay.
And it's actually kind of cool. You go put in your friends and it will show you the last geocache they found and when they were active.
Okay.
So you put your, you know, if you're out caching, you can load, you can open GeoFriends and say, oh, look, so Land Monkey's out here. He's a couple of miles away. He just found a cache. He just logged it.
So it's a stalking tool.
Exactly.
So I know some of that function you can do through the geocaching website.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Geocachinger app do any of that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So GeoFriends does fill a niche there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to go open it and take a look now. Cool. You know, it puts their cache count, the last time they were on, and how far away the... I have to go activate my API access to use it. I'm not going to do that right now. And
yeah,
I believe how far away the cache is from you that they just logged, or they most recently logged.
I'm trying to think of a use case where that would actually be helpful. Not to be smartass or cheeky about it, but I just, off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of where I would actually use that. I think I would tend to want to use like a phone a friend. And I know CGO has that kind of functionality, and so does so do a couple of the other newer ones.
CGO has a phone a friend option? How does that work?
Well, okay, so I'll roll that back. It doesn't exactly have a phone a friend option,
okay.
But what it has is the ability to see of your geocaching friends who has also logged that cache that you are at.
And I'm very jealous of that. Yes.
So it's basically a filter on the logs.
Gotcha.
That just
yes.
shows you your geocaching friends logs. So then you can go, oh, you know, Three Hams in a Row found this one. So I'm just going to text Three Hams in a Row and say, okay, I'm stuck.
Exactly. No, that's very cool. Also in the chat earlier, Broncos Fan for Life said Benchmap for looking for nearby benchmarks.
Mm.
I wasn't aware that there were any current benchmarking apps available in iOS. There were at one time, and they've, you know, been discontinued over time. So I'm glad to know that there is one.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Bronco Fans for Life. All right. So I think that's pretty thorough rundown of a lot of different apps. We talked about what we tend to use. We've used some of the feedback you guys have given us live on the in the chat, which has been really helpful. I am says Chris, CGO friends log feature is why you occasionally get phone a friend calls.
Yes, and that's, you know, I wish there was an iOS app that that had that same functionality.
Exactly.
I'm gonna throw out one more question that I think we can cover in the after show.
Okay.
Ian Berg says, does anyone know of an app that will alert you when you're near a cache, preferably a notification, even when the app is not currently on and open?
Oh, what an interesting idea.
So think about it. I can't think of one, but, you know, you guys...
So the app would run in the background on your phone, occasionally accessing your GPS data or your location data, and then run that against the geocaching database, and... if it gets close to a match,
exactly,
it pings you somehow and says, hey, whoa, stop. Don't get on that bus.
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. All right. And Mr. GeoNavPros in the chat also said that the one thing he does miss from CGO is the friends filter, because that is not available in the geocachinger app. All right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so cool. Yeah, if you guys know of anything that does that, I'm wondering if our research department is madly Googling away right now.
That would be good. That would be good.
So I think that kind of wraps up what we wanted to share with you guys for tonight. And we'll go through our usual wrap up of the show, and then we'll head into the after show. And who knows what we'll talk about then? Maybe even Winter Olympics.
Ooh, nice. Hey, if what? This show didn't meet your needs, perhaps the next show, when we talk about top cash tips for Victoria, BC with the Land Sharks, maybe that's more your speed. Or perhaps you're looking at Northwest Mega Events. We're going to have Broncos Fan for Life on March 8th.
Nice. I'm excited about those. Mm-hmm. Following up on that, episode 242 on March 15th, we're going to talk about keeping your caching gear organized. So there may be some useful tips. If you've ever cached with me, you'll know that the answer to that is OGO Flight Vest. But, you know, short episode. But, you know, we'll talk about all kinds of different stuff.
Get
around.
Done. Be done. Next. Yeah.
No, we'll talk about keeping your cache gear organized when you're on the trail, but also when you're at home, you know, how to make sure your stuff doesn't get all messed up and yucky. All right. March 22nd, episode 243, we are really looking forward to another fun guest, the return of Rock Chalk to our show. And we're not going to talk about geocaching.com or HQ with him. We're going to talk to Rock Chalk about him as a geocacher. We're going to talk about working on your challenge caches with Rock Chalk. So
when
I'm
you
really
hear
excited.
When you Sorry? Hear what Rock Chalk has done with challenge caches, you're gonna go, "This is insane." So I'm
the
just gonna throw
challenge
that out
cache
there.
Master. Yeah.
Oh man! So we want to talk to him as a cacher, not as a spokesperson for geocaching.com.
Yeah, and he's been a really good sport to do that with us. Yeah. We're looking forward to that. All right, folks. So, you know, one last thing I need to make sure I do here is to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Bounce Bounce, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. And folks, if you want to know more about supporting the show, click that Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And of course, every single one of you who participates on a monthly basis supporting us on this weekly podcast, we appreciate every single one of you so much. And all of you are Subway Mark, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Ackerdoc, OBX Geek, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, Billy Robson, Kev MacD, Tick Magnet, Gnees, and Teus. Wow, I managed to get it all in one breath, but that was close.
That was really close, yes. I think if we get one more patron, he won't be able to do it in a breath.
Oh, yeah? Sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to have to spend the rest of the week doing my breathing exercises.
I'm going to make sure the next patron is like 8 syllables long.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what? Until next week, my friend, where can our listeners find you on those good old interwebs?
On the interwebs, look for Caching NW. That can be Facebook, Google+. It's still there. Or even Twitter. Twitter's where I tend to be more active. What about you, my friend?
Well, we're really active on Twitter as well, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. You just follow us at LandMonkeyGC, and you'll see our weekly adventures in geocaching. I'm sure every week we're trying to get out there and have some fun. Of course, on Facebook, we're Team LandMonkey, and YouTube, just look for LANMONKEY, LandMonkey. I can't even spell my own name on YouTube, and you'll find our hundreds of fun videos of geocaching adventures.
And there are hundreds, and they're fun.
Thank you.
Personally watch each one. I may have a vested interest in, you know, watching your OGO Flight Vest and the Land Monkey that's in it. But you do a very good job on those videos. If you guys have an opportunity to share geocaching with a Muggle friend, send them Land Monkey's way. The Land Monkey geocaching adventures are going to spark an interest in anyone.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. See, Bryling thinks the same way I do. Every time you spell your name, I don't know what it is. I want to put an M-O-U-S-E at the end. So thank you, Lynn. Or thank you, Bryling, for backing me up on that. I want to close the show.
Yep.
But I feel a sneeze coming on.
Oh.
Okay, I'm okay now. See, this is live podcasting. You just never know what you're going to get.
It's all quality all the time.
But folks, even without a sneeze, we want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or send us a set of curling stones any time of the day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This show is produced by Chris Umfenauer and Jason Kennedy, hosted by Chris, Jason, and Jim Paulwitz. The show's licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2018 by Chris Umfenauer. And as we do every week, folks, we invite you to stay tuned for
The After Show.
Is it the
and
after
that's it. Yet? How many seconds can we pause there? It's a pregnant pause.
Ooh. I don't know what the pauses were doing.
About 9 months ago, you know what they were doing. Folks, this is the first...
a mommy pause and a daddy pause love each other very much. All right.
That's the after show, folks. You never know what you're going to get. Hey, if this is your first time listening to us, the after show is just an opportunity for us to be a little less formal, a little more friendly, and talk with those who are in the live chat with us. And, you know, we could even talk about topics that don't relate to geocaching. I know, weird, right?
It's crazy. So we could talk about maybe women's ski cross.
Yeah. What about women's ski cross?
Women's ski cross for Canada got gold and silver.
Woo!
I was very excited because, first of all, ski cross is my favorite sport in the winter.
I thought it was snowboard cross.
Well, I like the crosses. I like snowboard
either
and ski cross, but I prefer ski cross because I tend to be a skier by nature and experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little closer to my heart, but snowboard cross is also fun. But it's just, to me, it's the best sport. Everybody has their preferences.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Now, I watched snowboard cross, and wasn't the drop right out of the start bigger this year than in years past?
I don't know specifically what the distance is, but yeah, if you've not ever seen that sport, it's basically like motocross.
Mm-hmm.
Going downhill either on snowboards or skis. You go four athletes at a time. Actually, I think on men's snowboard they did six athletes at a time this year, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And
it's full contact snowboarding.
Pretty much. You're not supposed to full contact, but they kind of don't really enforce that part of the game.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I mean, you know, so anyway, they start off with an 8 or 9 foot drop right out of the gate. You got to jump and off you go.
Yeah.
Wow. That alone to me, if I were snowboarding and I had an 8 or 9 foot drop, that means I've come off like the roof of the lodge straight
pretty
down.
Much.
It's, you know, I'm out of control.
You start with that drop and then you have a very short downhill to get some speed up to get over the first hump. And then basically it's a downhill track of turns and jumps, and it's the first person across the finish line, and it is pretty much guaranteed you're going to have a wipeout.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and the announcers will tell you the only way you're guaranteed to get across the line is to be in the front and let all the chaos happen behind you.
Yeah, there you go.
Unless, of course, you fall. So, you know, it's somebody said it's like motocross. Yes, there are jumps involved, turns, and it's all very, it's not necessarily contact, but it will happen. So,
oh, yeah,
it's quite exciting.
Go Canada.
Go Canada. curling. Now,
yes.
Land Monkey, you just did some curling not too long ago.
I did. Curling is fun, and it's a lot harder than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
I want to start with that.
Curling has... Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead. Jump in there.
I say curling has taken the U.S. by storm. It's trending right now. Yeah, really? We've got several athletes. We've got one of our prominent football players who loves curling. So, you know, with that, it's getting all this press that it's never seen before. And people just like, curling, yes. In fact, the curling clubs are overwhelmed. There was one in Wisconsin that had over 1,000 inquiries within a week of, hey, when's an intro to curling class?
That's cool. Well, I can say as someone who has tried curling, I would definitely do it again. It's not something I would go out of my way to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if the opportunity came up and someone was arranging something and said, hey, you want to come? I would definitely do it again. It was a lot of fun. It's one of those sports where you can very easily combine the social aspect with the sport itself. It's not kind of a go off and do it yourself sport.
Right.
And it can be competitive without having to be super competitive.
So I consider the social aspect of curling a bit like bowling.
Yeah, I guess that's a reasonably fair assessment.
You're out with your friends, and it can be competitive. Keith Morgan says curling rocks, but I really think it's curling stones.
See? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done there.
Nicely done. All right. What you got? There was some FITAS, right? Some hashtag FITAS right up at the top of the chat here now that it's been rolling up.
What yes, IHAM is working on a particular geocache and it's driving him nuts. It is GC6Z Kilo Charlie Echo, South Sound Gong 3, The Throne. A puzzle cache.
Right.
The South Sound Gong is an interesting idea, and I'm sorry, you guys are going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. Is this not the South Sound Gong is a competition between the South Sound, so Tacoma, or I'm sorry, anything below Seattle, and Seattle, and there was a competition to take a cache, hide it, and, you know, I don't know if it was a puzzle or just a difficult hide, and whoever finds it gets to ring the gong and claim the cache and put it up for the next, you know. So if Seattle finds it, then they got to hide it for the South Sound, and the South Sound hides it for Seattle, and it's kind of an interesting little competition.
That sounds like fun, yeah. What an interesting idea.
Yeah. Okay, I wanted to get in there that Wino Seattle.
Team Finn had hashtag FITAS up earlier. Reminder about some of their next events coming up. March 22nd in Fairwood, celebrate National Make Up Your Own Holiday Day. That's funny. and they've got the link in the chat there for you for that.
That's National Curling Day?
Sure. Apparently it can be National Whatever You Want Day. I like that. And Keats94 had said, hashtag FITAS, I wasn't joking about that search party for CHAG, GC599X6, aiming for mid-April when the days are longer and warmer. Asked to join the Facebook group, the CHAGers. There's already a Facebook group for it. So there you go. They're pretty serious. This is a unfound mystery cache in the Metro Vancouver area.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of people have solved it, but no one has found it yet.
How old is it?
A couple of years.
Oh, that's really quite interesting then.
Yeah.
Wino Seattle says, one of my coworkers who now geocaches is a U.S. curling team Olympian who you've seen curling recently on NBCSN.
Wow.
So
very cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. Neat.
Okay. So going back to this puzzle, the South Sound Gong 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I found something in the source code, says Broncos fan. The puzzle has many layers, three past the Morse, according to the CO. Another one says, Team Finn says, I've heard there's 5 layers of Cypher and a long hike.
Wow. That's pretty aggressive.
So, Ian Berg, Ian, I apologize. I don't recognize your name.
That's Lazy Bones.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, can you give us your geocaching name, but it's already been done. Curling is his favorite sport. He grew up across the street from a curling rink.
Very cool. Okay.
It's the Seattle FTF bell. That's what I'm thinking of. The bell, not the gong.
The bell. Bell gong.
Yeah.
Close. I was going to say, Three Hams and a Rose is hoping for a wardrobe malfunction on the podcast in the Olympics ice dance spirit, I guess, is what he's thinking there. So
yeah, their clothes came apart, right?
The French
came off on a shoulder or something.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. And, you know, all joking around and such aside, it really sucks because it threw them off their game.
Mm, that's a shame.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at those outfits and, you know, they're all custom made. You just don't go buy your, you know, ice dance costume at JCPenney.
Not at that level of, yeah, competition.
So
there you go. Yeah. So it's the Seattle FTF Bell.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of. I'm sorry. My brain isn't all that sharp right now. Not that it ever is. I do want to say, guys, thank you so much for your expressions of friendship and love that I received through Twitter the other day. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
Very cool. And I want to say, yay, Kelsey Serwa and Brittany Phelan.
And those are
women's ski cross.
Ah, okay.
Competitors, athletes, super athletes.
Nice.
And Kelsey Sir was from Kelowna, BC. That's where the Challenge Bear geoart is, amongst hundreds of other pieces of geoart.
And she knows about geocaching, right?
I don't know.
And promoting it. Of course she does.
I think we should see if we can get her on the podcast.
Okay. Why not?
Why not? Doesn't hurt to ask, right?
Exactly. No, Three Hams. Just no.
Some things you were just not going to read out loud on the podcast. Okay, that's fair.
Oh, now I completely forgot I was going to talk about.
Awesome. All right. Well, you know, it's just going on 10 o'clock, so probably about time anyways.
I'm sure I had something very witty and worthwhile to say until Three Hams just, you know, threw me off by posting in the chat. But folks, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. We really appreciate your interaction with us because, you know, this show is a dialogue. It's a conversation. It's not just us talking. So thank you so much for those in the chat. And for all of you listening, we really appreciate you. And until next week, get out and get caching in the Northwest.